Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. So I put pen to paper on the Analytics of Dynasty 2022 edition. And I've written like four paragraphs, but I think they're pretty... This has been something I've been thinking about for a while. And I ran some numbers on it. And I think it's a pretty big deal. Like I actually did pre-writing research on this. And I've been thinking about it for a while. And it's basically the quarterbacks... So I think as we sort of go along a little bit in Superflex, we got to rethink how we evaluate positions. So it's really tough to go from Superflex, from like start one ADP to Superflex ADP as like a currency, or to say like, hey, here are the prior... you know, here's the prior success rates for you know, quarterbacks drafted in the top three rounds. It's just really tough to adjust for it. So what I've been thinking, and similarly, as we sort of get more quarterbacks going higher in Superflex drafts, we've got problems with, you know, thinking about how we look at the positions of running backs. Like, is it a third round startup pick, or, you know, how do we sort of do that? So one of the things I've been looking at is, well, instead of looking at, you know, where they go in the round, let's just look at where they go positionally. So like look at top 12 quarterbacks, or, you know, think about the top 10 running backs or something like that. Well, for this particular research, I've been doing top 12 positional startup ADP quarterbacks. All right. So guys that in a particular year went in the first round, or in the first 12 picks at the position. Okay, their positional ADP was in the top 12. And so I went back to 2008, and I have that data going back to 2008, and I worked all the way up through 2016 for some of the subset, 2018 for a different subset. So I'll sort of walk you through that here in a second. And so what I was looking at was essentially guys who had done it versus guys who had not. And then I sort of wanted to break up, you know, kind of how we think about that. Is it multiple hits? Is it one versus zero? Is it two versus zero? You know, how do we sort of think about these in a way that makes some sense, in a way that we can look at a board, look at the players on the board, and just say, like, here's the suboptimal bet. So I ran some tests, and so 132 quarterbacks between 2008 and 2018 were top 12 positional startup ADP guys. 115 of those had a prior top 12 seasonal finish, while 17 didn't. On average, the prior hits finished the next three seasons with 1.67 top 12 seasonal finishes. The non-prior hits finished with 1.29 top 12 seasonal finishes. However, it wasn't statistically significant. So there is a difference there historically, but we can't say that it's statistically significant. However, once you go out a little bit further in some of the density stuff, it does get more, it does get statistically significant advantage. So of the 108 quarterbacks drafted with a top 12 positional startup ADP between 2018 and 2016, right, so now we're looking at a five-year window. The 93 that had a prior top 12 seasonal finish had, on average, a 2.65 top 12 seasonal finishes in the next 5 years. The non-prior hits in the top 10, 1.6. And this is statistically significant. So that has been a statistically significant deal, having a hit over having a non-hit. When you look at the multiple hits, so the 74 quarterbacks with multiple hits have produced 2.89 top 12 seasonal finishes over the next 5 years. That's compared to quarterbacks with only one hit that had 1.8. So even the difference between a one and a multi-hit is significant. So if you're looking at the board, it gets more significant too as we sort of go down. When you look at multiple top 12 prior hits compared to those who have not, And that's basically zero hits and one hit, right? So just compare the guys who didn't have two or more hits entering and the guys that did have it, right? So just you just it's a binary yes or no. Have you hit twice? Yes or no. Of the 74 who had multiple prior top 12 seasonal finish, they averaged 1.8 top six seasonal finishes over the next 5 years. That compares, it's statistically significant over the 0.71 top six seasonal finishes for the guys that had one or no prior hits. So it's basically 2.5x the top six seasonal finishes based on whether or not you had hit twice before. So looking at density, looking at high-end outcomes, looking at insulation, that's why the Trevor Lawrence's insulated argument doesn't hold water to me, because it just doesn't really, it's not particularly true, I don't think, in terms of some of his production and the guys going around him. So what does this top 12 look like this year? Again, I track it over the entire off season. So I do have some time to go still, right? In terms of, we track it basically from like January, February into the end of August. That's the number that I use for their ADP, their positional ADP, their overall ADP for the entire season. That's the number that I end up using, the average over the course of the season. So we still have time to move with some of these. And so the question becomes, you know, what does it look like right now, and how can we sort of think about it in drafts? Well, you got Mahomes, you got Allen, Murray, Prescott, Lamar, Herbert, Lawrence, Burrow, Wilson, Watson, Rodgers, Fields. So in there, and then Jalen Hurts is just outside. I would imagine that Fields has that Lance is going to probably be a riser in terms of some of the startup ADP. So we'll see there. But, you know, right now you've basically got three guys that have zero hits. That's Lawrence, Burrow, and Fields. You've got one guy that has one hit in Herbert. And then you have eight guys that have multiple hits. So already we're sort of narrowing our board down and saying, listen, we're not taking Lawrence, Burrow, or Fields at this cost. The other one is Herbert. And you can say, you know, I can see the argument with Herbert. You'd say, all right, he had the initial rookie hit, so you could sort of weigh that. Again, we're sort of measuring this as kind of like a base rates as a starting point, as a general rule, and then we can sort of deviate from it where we find necessary. It's clear Herbert goes over Lawrence and Burrow. I think that's absolutely right, and Fields. The question is, can you do that over Wilson? Can you do it over Watson? Can you do it over Rodgers? I struggle with it over Wilson, to be honest with you. So I'm going to look. I've got Herbert in a spot. I'm going to look to go Herbert to Wilson plus. I think that's something that is worth exploring. I sort of understand the argument about Rodgers. And it could say, hey, listen, it's Rodgers. You might only get a couple years left. And Herbert, like, there's a shot that he's the next, you know, Watson, or he's the next, you know, I hate to use Mahomes, but that he's the next dude. He's the next Rodgers, and how he started. Again, I would be a little bit tepid about that. Like, he had a really good rookie season, but let's not anoint him yet. There was some of the metric stuff we can look at and say, oh, okay, like, it was good. Was it historic? I mean, let's, you know, we could sort of be a little careful with that. So that's really the thing that I would say in this range. I think to me, it's, you're avoiding the rookies at the costs. I just can't take them over, especially taking them over Wilson. I get the argument over Rodgers. I get the argument over Watson at the present time. I don't know how you can do Burrow or Lawrence over Wilson. I can't get on board with that. And, you know, Fields is going back down there. I mean, another guy that I'd rather pivot to off of some of these unproven guys is Stafford. You could pivot to Stafford. Now Stafford's going in the teens because there's rookies coming up above him. And that's a really nice pivot situation. So I'm going to look to do some of those things. I think that's interesting. You know, when you're sort of looking to do the board, I initially recording this, I forgot that Allen had actually hit twice. So he sort of puts himself up there. I've got Mahomes, I've got Allen, I have Prescott at 2 in my, if I were to sort of do rankings. And I think I would have Allen after him, probably Watson after, you know, Watson up there too. It's a little bit tougher now with the suspension stuff. I still think Watson deserves to be a top 10 quarterback. You know, people were dropping him out of the top 20. I just can't. The upside's just too great. It's just too great. And the down, and you're not, if you're passing on Fields, if you're doing it at the cost of like Fields or Lance or Mac Jones or some of these other guys, like, I don't think the cost is that high, right? So the upside's really high. Like the downside is, yeah, that they become super elite, but I don't think it's like that likely. And it doesn't, right? It just, you're just massively sort of putting all the non-suspension, non, you know, going to prison risk, and you're putting that all on the rookie. You're basically eliminating all of the fall on your face type risk out of Watson. So that's my take on it. That's why I would have him. You know, I sort of get the argument for Lawrence over him, but anyone else, and Lawrence just because he's a safer asset. But anyone else, give me Watson. This is the interesting thing again. Herbert's one that, as I sort of look at these things, I can make a case for Herbert, but I'm going to be careful with. I think Herbert definitely belongs over. The numbers would support that Herbert belongs over Lance and or over Lawrence, over Burrow, any of the other rookies. That's proper process. I think Herbert probably belongs below Wilson. And then you could sort of debate there about Rodgers and Watson. I think that would sort of be how I would handle that. Because this is a spot where you don't want to miss, right? And I get sort of taking a huge upside swing. I mean, I'll take a swing so hard you fall over type cut, you know, like you would think in like baseball or, you know, those cartoons or whatever, where the guy takes a swing and then, you know, jackknifes himself into the ground. But I can take those swings, but not first round of super flex drafts on a quarterback. Just can't do that. So that's really the thought with it. Again, where I'm getting Watson, I'm not taking a first round swing. I'm taking a third round swing. And in an area where you're looking, you know, 50, 60, 70% hit rates, it's like, all right, if as long as I don't, and I think the odds that he misses the rest of his career are close to zero. And you could say, okay, it might be a patience play. Like, it might hurt for a little while, but I'm going to outperform the hit rate. And that's kind of my thought on it. You're not paying, I don't think, you know, you're paying more 303, 306 type startup costs now than you were, you know, in February, for example. So that's my take on the strategy of it. Again, I'm going to dive some more into this. It's going to be probably a full written section in the 2022 edition, but I figured I'd give you a little insight into some of the stuff that I'm writing. So again, the big takeaways, it's multiple hit guys at quarterback, multiple top 12 hit guys. They're going to massively produce guys who haven't done it. They're going to massively produce guys that haven't done it at all and one hits. And when given the choice, take a hit over a non-hit up in the top 12. So I'm going to look at some of the guys outside of that. I think there might be some different stuff going on with guys between 13 and 24, for example. Maybe, I don't know. I'm open to that idea too, and sort of see. So, but yeah, that's the big takeaway from the initial stuff and sort of this initial writing process. So this is a writer's room type edition. So until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.